2025 is here, and the pace of change has never been faster. Are you ready to thrive in a world where AI accelerates everything but can't replace the most essential human skills? That's why we've created a special 11-part series on the Learn It All podcast to help you master the skills needed to future-proof yourself and your career. From self-awareness to listening and developing trust, these are the traits that will make you irreplaceable in an ever-evolving workforce. I'm Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It and two-time best-selling author, and I'll be your guide throughout the series. Joining me is Dr. Mickey Fitzcollins, Learn-It's top-ranked facilitator and a leadership expert dedicated to helping you grow. This series is brought to you in partnership with our good friends at MuchSkills, a platform that helps organizations map and understand their workforce capabilities. Drawing from insight from their survey of over 28,000 professionals, we'll unpack 11 skills in this weekly series that will prepare you to thrive in an ever-evolving world. If you enjoy this episode, please take a moment to rate and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us share this message far and wide. Let's dive into today's top skill. So, Mickey, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, today we're talking about self-awareness. And, you know, Damon, if I could throw out kind of to let people know, what am I talking about? Self-awareness is one of those ambiguous sort of terms. When I say self-awareness, what we're going to be talking about is this idea of kind of recognizing and understanding our own emotions and being aware of, like, who am I? How am I? How do I feel? How am I behaving? Where am I contributing? How does my meaning and purpose fit together? Essentially, it's kind of mindfulness in some ways, but minus the, you know, kind of meditation practice sort of stuff. And that's what we're going to be focusing on, is kind of understanding what drives you and being aware of those pieces.
And also, which I think is super important, you're going to share with us three actions to own your own self-awareness, right?
Absolutely, yes. I think there's, you know, I could give 33, but we're going to zone in on three different things that I feel like our listeners can actively put into place today to be able to be much more mindful and aware of kind of how they function in their worlds, for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just kick it off with, what happens if you have poor self-awareness?
Yeah. Good things happening to bad people, bad things happening to good people, all of the above, right?
I like that.
I tell you, Damon, I have definitely and seen some colleagues of mine, and I've been there too. I will be honest too, of moments of lack of self-awareness or sustained lack of self-awareness. I think one of the things that I think is actually most dangerous about self-awareness is that when I see this most often is people who are kind of rising on the ladder of organizations that kind of see that they don't need to be self-aware, right? Like the higher they go in the organization, they don't have to have these skills. And
totally wrong.
I've seen, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think it's the opposite, is that the higher up, the more influential, more powerful you become in an organization, the more self-aware you need to be, because your ripples of influence are actually so much greater, right? But I mean, I've seen people overstay their welcome.
Give us a good story about a awful self-awareness.
Yeah, well, I will actually tell you a story about me, about a self-awareness, big moment, big intersection in my life. And, Damon, as you know, and some of our listeners know, my former world, my career number one, you know, they always say that you have like two or three careers throughout your working life, was in higher education administration. This is what I got my master's degree in. It's what I got my PhD in. It's what my whole entire career was always working at colleges and universities. And I got into that because I had these very formative, very important experiences when I was in college, and wanted to give back, right? And worked in that field. And what I realized, there were a lot of different things that happened at once for me. One of it was, I got married. We had our first child. The pandemic happened. I finished my PhD. I turned 40 in there. I mean, there was like all this stuff that happened within about a 2-year time period. But I also had been working in that field for almost 20 years. And what I realized was that I was so unself-aware. I was burnt out. I was angry. I really oscillated between anger and sadness, right? Like I would be fuming about something and then crying about something. I was unhealthy. I had a ton of extra weight on. My skin was breaking out. I was just in poor health, and realized I'm not contributing to this field anymore. I'm not doing helpful stuff anymore. I am not even close to the best version of myself. And I'm not giving what I want. I'm not receiving what I want. I don't feel like this fits for me anymore. And this was a huge crisis, right? And anybody who has had one of these kind of crisis of consciousness sort of things or crisis of career knows that this is a huge kind of inflection point for self-awareness. And when I realized that higher education was no longer my calling, so to speak, right? What I did was I went through this discernment process. It was a process of self-awareness. What is it that gives me meaning and purpose? What is it that gives me positive energy, positive feelings, positive emotions? Where do I feel like I am giving the most in the best possible ways? And the other side of that, right? Like what is draining my batteries, all that sort of stuff. And what I realized was over that 20-year career in higher education administration, the moments and times where I felt like I was the best version of myself, giving my very best to other people, was when I was teaching or training and supervising, okay? So naturally, as I'm going through this process, I'm like, well, what type of work could I do where I'm teaching or training and supervising? And like a 2x4 to the side of my head came the world of learning and development, which is obviously how I found Learned, right? But it was a huge moment, this huge inflection point of self-awareness, because I could have easily done what I've seen a ton of people do, which is just, you know, grin and bear it and, you know, go through all 12 stages of burnout and awful stuff. But I've seen people do that time and again, super unhealthy, psychologically super unhealthy for organizations. And for me, this was just this huge, intersection in my life. Probably one of the most difficult decisions, if not the most difficult decision I've ever had to make, and the best decision I've ever had to make, right? And it all come from this place of self-awareness.
So question for you, Edna, on that.
Yeah.
When you first came to that self-awareness, what did it make you feel like? Were you super scared or were you excited or all the above? What were your feelings?
Not excited. No, not at all. I was so scared because I had a whole network and a whole career built in that world. And I was like, if this isn't my jam anymore, like what is? Who am I? Right? Because I had at that point, my number one identifier was as someone, a career professional in higher education administration. It wasn't any of the rest of who Mickey is. And so it was super scary to me. And it was frustrating because I'm like, well, how do I know what to do next? Like, how am I going to know what to do next? And it was a process of this intense self-awareness and this ability, my forced ability to kind of look myself in the mirror and say, okay, what is it that gives you meaning and purpose? What are you going to do to have positive emotions and positive behaviors and positive actions as opposed to negative? So it was a very scary process.
Very scary process. And, you know, I went through something similar with baseball where my whole identity was wrapped up in baseball. But really the difference, I think, in my situation and your situation was mine came to an end and it was over with, you know? And so I couldn't really go on anymore. Your situation, you could have kept going down that road, that miserable road. So for our listeners out there who are sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, I think I'm in the same situation as with Mickey, but I don't know how to get out of it. What is one tip you have for them to take that first step to pivot in a different direction?
Yeah. I mean, I would offer a 1A and a 1B. 1A, reach out to me on LinkedIn and let's get connected and talk, right? Because
so
I think
nice of you.
A big part of this, but I mean, in all seriousness, yes, reach out. But in all seriousness, what helped me do this was my mentors and my friends and my family, right? Of having safe, trusted people that I could go to as just a person who's struggling and frustrated and just saying, I don't know what to do and I need your help, right? So that's the first thing I would say is like connect with the people who are in your trusted circle and let them know what's going on. And then I think the second kind of the 1B, I call it a process of discernment, right? Because really what it was peeling back the layers and really trying to figure out what is the essence of the stuff that brings joy, that brings meaning, that brings purpose, that makes me feel good and it makes the people around me feel good too. And it's kind of like a values exercise, right? Of like, what are the things that are important to me? Doing that can be both a very raw exercise as well as a very energizing exercise to do.
I think that that's wonderful. And, you know, for our listeners out there, there's a lot of downfalls and negatives about not being self-aware, but in this specific, and we'll get into more of those, but in this specific situation, if Mickey wasn't self-aware, one of the biggest things she loses out on, besides just feeling miserable, is time. Time is one thing you can't get back. If she didn't do this reflection and thought about her values and her strengths, 2 years would have went by, and it would have been all this time she couldn't get back. So that's something that you really want to think about as you listen to this conversation for the rest of our time together. Okay, so Mickey, let's get right into what are three actions to own your own self-awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. The first and foremost is the idea of kind of awareness in our body, right? And what I mean by that is actively engaging in your own emotional regulation, right? Like, how are you showing up? You know, there's this, you know, ancient, I think it's from Lao Tzu that said, watch your thoughts for they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Your actions become your behaviors, habits, right? Like, we're probably all familiar with that. But it starts with our emotional self-regulation. And I think even, you know, moment to moment, hour to hour, even at the end of every single day of just saying, how did I feel today? What are the feelings? What are the emotions that I had? And how did I demonstrate those? Because we can demonstrate negative emotions in really helpful sort of ways. And we can demonstrate negative emotions in really bad ways, right? Same on the positive side. And so actively engaging in being in touch with your own emotions. And I know that sounds maybe for some of our listeners like, ooh, that's a little fluffy, like that's a little bit much. But our emotions, I mean, that is the core of what makes us human, right? Is our ability to kind of feel. It's not just about feeling though, it's about processing and regulating. If I am mad, if I'm frustrated, if I'm sad, if I'm moved to tears all the time, take a moment to stop and understand what that means. Like, why is this happening to me? The problem is, as you said, Damon, is like when people just kind of steamroll right past that and say, well, part of being, you know, working at this organization or working in this industry is just being mad all the time. Is it though? Right? Like, I mean, and you laugh because I'm sure that you've heard this.
Yeah.
right. TSA or something like that, right?
Like the accent too you had there, by the way. I mean, yeah, especially if you saw like being mad all the time.
Yeah, I went from Northern Wisconsin accent to I don't know what that was, but yeah, you know, I mean, we have to be aware of what our emotions feel like. I remember in some of those last moments of working in, and I had an incredible career, a very accelerated career, went all the way to the top of a university, right? As high as you can go, short of being a chancellor or a president. And I remember just being like, the only emotion today I felt was anger. An entire 8-hour workday. The only emotion I felt yesterday, sadness. The only emotion that I felt the day before that, frustration. Who wants to be in that space? You know, I mean, I got enough wrinkles and gray hair. Like, as you said, like, I don't want to waste time not feeling well, right? So the first step, actively engage in your own emotional regulation.
And one thing I want to kind of add to that is, or two things. One is it's okay to feel those negative emotions.
Yes.
And because there's actually, I think, and I'm, you know, I don't have a PhD in any of this by far, but it's probably something's wrong if you're always positive. I mean, there's no way that I've never met anybody who's just positive 24/7 because they may be hiding something. I think it's, you got to be self-aware and know that it's okay to feel like maybe something isn't working out, or don't hide those feelings. I think that that's important. We had a great guest on the show, Mark J. Silverman, and he had a quote that I'm going to butcher, but he said something around, those who are grounded always win or come out on top. And he talked a lot about how to identify your feelings and maybe basically take a little ownership or control over them so that you're not the one who's having outbursts along the way. That's just my two little things. So what is step two?
Yeah, actually related, both step two and step three, or action step two and three, are both related to what you just said. The second one is really around this idea of owning and acting on what are your strengths and your areas of needed improvement, right? And, you know, I know we kind of, oh, that's the most common interview question. What are your strengths and areas of needed improvement? But really thinking about, when it comes to my self-awareness, where do I have strength there? Maybe my strength is in showing my emotions, both positive and challenging emotions, showing them well and demonstrating them well to other people. Maybe the area of needed improvement is, you know, that sometimes I fly off the handle in meetings and I kind of say some things that maybe I shouldn't have said, or I, you know, maybe I say it in a tone I shouldn't, right? Maybe it's about boundaries, right? When I was earlier on in my career, boundaries was really hard for me because a lot of my employees were people that were like about my age and in my similar life circumstance, right? But understanding, kind of engaging in the self-awareness process, what am I really good at? What am I not so good at? How do I learn to build out these skills? Again, kind of this like learn it all sort of idea. Humility, learning agility, a lot of the topics that we're talking about in this series, what are the things that I am good at and not so good at? And when I say good at and not so good at, I don't mean skills. I mean in terms of your own self-awareness and how much of a grasp do I have on who I am and how I show up. And that actually gets us into the third step, which is to reflect and engage on your impact on the people around you. One of the things I talk about personal branding with people sometimes, and people, I just don't like that. I don't have a brand, right? Like I'm not a brand. But
yes,
the idea is you do. Absolutely.
Everybody does.
And your brand, like it or not, your brand is what people think and feel when they hear your name or they see your face, right? And so when somebody says Damon Lemby, right? It's like, what does somebody think or feel? What do they picture in their head, right? And when we reflect and we engage around our impact on other people, it's getting to have a better idea of like, what do other people think of me? And it's not just like, I don't mean this in this like vanity sort of like, oh, do people like me? But it's more about how do people see how I show up in spaces, right? Like, what is the impact that I make on the teams that I'm part of? What is the impact when I have a one-on-one conversation with my supervisor or one of my colleagues? What does that impact look like? Am I doing the right things, right? Am I being the best? I always like to say the being the best version of myself, right? Like that's one of the things for me as somebody in my 40s. And this is like kind of like my next portion of my life is being the best version of myself. I do that by reflecting on essentially the ripples in the pond, so to speak, right, of what that ripple effect looks like and how I see that reflected back to me on the people that I work with and the people that I'm around. So those are the three big action steps in terms of kind of building and cultivating our self-awareness that I would offer to folks.
How do you determine what the best version of yourself is?
Yeah, it changes with every day that ends with Y. Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, I think one of the best phrases, Kalina Quibel that said this is about seasons in life, right? I heard her use that phrase of seasons in life. And I think our best version of ourself has to do with the season of our life that we're in. For me, you and I talk about this all the time, but I mean, the importance of the identity of being a parent of young kids, right? Like that is the season of my life that I'm in. And that is my primary. That's everything. And so I think about how do I be the best version of myself for my kids, right? How do I show up as the best partner that I can to my wife? Like, how do I show up as a sister and as a child and all of this? But that changes based on the season of your life. It changes. It has everything to do with psychological safety and like how comfortable do you feel in your relationships? How comfortable do you feel with your employer? How much do you feel like you are bringing worth and value and meaning? There's not a prescriptive answer to what that looks like for everybody. I mean, I think that's part of the self-awareness process is what is the best version of Mickey? What is the best version of Damon?
And I think that's important. I've had this conversation a couple of times recently out of the blue, really, is that when it comes to the best version of yourself, you want to make sure that it's what you want it to be, not what other people want it to be. That's just kind of something that stuck with me. You know, don't always be out there trying to be the best version of what somebody else wants you to be. I think you need to be honest and true to yourself. Now, I want to share a story of being lacking self-awareness. I mean, earlier on, you mentioned that sometimes leaders feel like you get to a certain level, you don't have to do this anymore. You got it all figured out. I say that I agree with you that that's the furthest thing from the truth. I think the higher up you go, the more important it is to be self-aware. We had a phenomenal interview with Stephen M. R. Covey, and he talks about his three stewards, and his three stewards are modeling, trust, and inspire. And modeling is modeling the behavior that for your employees. And as a young leader, and I'm sure this happens now, Mickey, I mean, you're welcome to call me out on this if you want. But there are times as a leader that, you know, we're all human. You know, there's times that I'm tired. There's times when I'm frustrated. There's times when, and you lose, you forget that when you're a leader, everybody's looking at you. Everybody's, and they're looking at your body language, they're looking at your tone in your email, you know, so there's all of those things. And a lot more as a leader in the past, hopefully I've gotten a lot better at this, that I'd come across in ways where I wasn't really paying attention to what other people were thinking. And I don't care if you're in a 50,000 person company or a 50 person company, the leader sets the tone. And so it's important for you, leaders of all levels, to be self-aware of how you are showing up every day. Are you showing up on time? Are you showing up hungover? Do you look sloppy? You know, I mean, I think it's so important that your actions and how you behave are what you want your team to model, because that's critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of that, and I appreciate you sharing that, Damon. And I mean, and you even sharing that story, you just engaged in that process of self-awareness and self-reflection, right? And part of this for a lot of people, it can be kind of hand in hand with maturity, right? And kind of thinking about emotional maturity or chronological maturity is that, you know, and it's not a fact, right? That we don't necessarily become more self-aware the older we get. I mean, there's certainly lots of examples of people that aren't, right? But we can hope and we can strive for, as we have more seasoning in our lives, right? As we go through different seasons, that we become more self-aware. But it is easy to live under the shroud of whether it's leadership, it's power, it's influence, whatever that is, that for some people pushes them into a place of, as you said, like, I don't need to be self-aware because people value me for the way that I am, instead of saying, how am I showing up to the people around me, right? Like, how am I contributing, rather than like just this kind of vanity sort of thing. I know we're going to talk about humility as one of our important skills too, but you know, that's such a hand in hand to self-awareness, is how do we show up as whole human beings, right? I mean, like, we have rough days, we have rough nights, things happen in our personal lives. And the most influential and most realistic and real life leaders that I admire and I care about are the people who can talk about, you know, their dog making a mess in the house, or the pipes busting in their house, or a weather event or whatever. And then being like, and then I had to come to work and be this amazing person. No, you come to work and you be the best version of yourself that you can that day. And that's all we can do, right?
Yeah, it's about being authentic and being genuine and being vulnerable. I mean, that's a great way to model behavior. Now, some of our listeners might be out there thinking, hey, you know, great, self-awareness is important, but this is a series on what are the most important skills now. So, yeah. Mickey, why is self-awareness more important now than ever? I have some thoughts on this, but I want to see what you have to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest pieces around self-awareness is why it's so important right now. In particular, when we think about the job marketplace and kind of where organizations are at, is I need to be, and when I say I mean any one of us, I need to be critically self-aware of who I am, the gifts and talents that I have to offer, the service that I can give to other people, because that's what's going to be able to help me find the right fit in terms of, you know, meaning and purpose in a position and in an organization. If the goal, and I think for a lot of us, the goal is to be the best version of ourselves and contribute in the best way, I need to know who self is. And so I think from a marketability standpoint, from a working, you know, they always say, like, you know, find a job that you love and you'll never work a day in your life, right? I don't know how super realistic that is, but there's a tangential kind of avenue to that, which is, if I am self-aware enough to know, like, this is where I do my best work and this is how I do my best work, I'm showing up as the best version of myself because I've engaged in this self-awareness process, which means I am the most marketable person that I can be to these types of organizations that meet me with those same values. So part of it is kind of job market and applicability and marketability. So I think one of the things that is really important, we've been talking a lot about trust over the last couple of months as an organization and on LinkedIn. And we had our panel at the end of September. You know, I think one of the things that's so important is that customers need to trust organizations. They need to trust the individuals. They need to trust the products and services. And we can't trust until we feel like we are getting the real deal, until we feel like we're getting the real person, right? Like this idea of transparency and honesty and openness, relationships at the core of trust, right? Like that's been so much of what we've been talking about over the last couple of months. And self-awareness is absolutely right in the middle of all of that. So I think for individuals that are trying to be the best versions of themselves, find the best fit, be the best that they can in the job marketplace, that's one piece. I think the other piece of it is for organizations to really excel, they have to be made of many, many people that are engaging in processes of self-awareness. But I'd love to hear, Damon, what do you think about? Why is self-awareness so important to you?
I'm going
to
answer that, but while I answer it, I also want you to think about, can organizations as a whole be not self-aware? That's kind of a... So one of the... I think that self-awareness is very important for everything you just said. I also think that, you know, with the younger generations, the Gen Z, the millennials, you know, they get a bad rap sometimes. We know that. But some of the times it's undeserved. And a lot of it is because they want to work for an organization that has a purpose. You know, it can't just always be about profitability. You know, they want to have a purpose. And I think that self-awareness ties right into that. They want to believe, they want to work for people that they believe in, that people that they trust, for an organization that that has their back and that has their customers' back. And a lot of the times, in order to gain that trust, it is through self-awareness, you know, really reflecting on what you're doing and how you're behaving as an organization throughout with your teammates and your customers. So that to me is one of those things that is one of the reasons why I think self-awareness is so important right now. And the other one is with the rapid pace of technology and AI and everything, we need to be self-aware with what's going on in the world. We can't put our head in the sand and think it's not going to happen. We need to get ahead of the game and adopt AI, both as an organization and as an individual, because if you don't, if Learnit doesn't adopt and move forward with AI, other people will. We'll get left behind. We won't be able to serve our customers the way we want. And for all those people out there who are thinking, I'm not going to, you know, AI is a fad, it's going to go away. Well, you're not being honest with yourself. You know, you got to get on board because I don't want to see you miss out on opportunities. So, but Mickey, how do people then start curating or developing self-awareness?
Yeah. I appreciate that you asked me that question. I was going to ask you the same question. It's like thinking very tactically and practically, like what are the behaviors? Like what are the things, like all this is amazing conversation, all that, but like besides these actions, like what are some concrete behaviors that we can do? And the thing that I always think about, I love Fridays, okay? And I especially love Fridays. I think a lot of people love Fridays, and it's not because the weekend's coming or anything, but yes. But I love Fridays because especially Friday afternoons, I try to make space to reflect back on my week. And so like the action step that I would encourage you to think about is to make time at the end of every single week. And whether you work Monday through Friday, whatever the end of your week is, end of a couple of days, whatever that might be. But to make some time and space to kind of go back and check in with what the week was like. How did I feel throughout the week? What really spiked my energy? What really drained my energy? Were there unexpected interactions that I had or unexpected outcomes? And I don't mean outcomes like I thought I was going to sell 50,000 widgets and I only sold 10,000. I don't mean that. I mean outcomes in terms of an interaction with somebody that was unexpected or a reaction that I had was unexpected. Engaging in some of that reflection process, it is much easier for us to reflect about concrete things. How many widgets did I sell or not sell? How many meetings did I have or not have? What did I do, right? Like those sort of things feel very concrete. But engaging in a self-awareness reflection allows us to essentially be taking our temperature and kind of charting it over time. And that has everything to do with pursuing that, you know, kind of best sense of self. It has everything to do with kind of checking in to make sure that you're showing up the way that you want to show up. I think sometimes we have this different idea of like, who are we and how do we show up? And so I like to make space, and I would encourage people make space at the end of every week to just look back and check in on yourself a little bit. And maybe it's just those few things. You know, how did I feel emotionally this week? What were areas where I felt like my emotions were spiked in a positive way, dipped in a negative way? And was there anything unexpected for me? You can learn a lot from that. And I would, Damon, what about you? Like, what are some behaviors that you do to kind of make sure that you're staying in check with yourself?
Well, what I do is I'm a big fan of Michael Hyatt, and he's got a book, which unfortunately it escapes my mind right now, but we'll put it in the show notes, where we do the big three, which is the big three for the quarter, for the week and for the day, and I'll write out what my goals are for the day, the week. And I do it at the beginning of the week every day. And then at the end of the week, I kind of reflect back on, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what would I want to do more of, what I want to do less of. That's really one of my main ways to reflect. I have the Michael Hyatt planner that I use for that. Another one I do is I learned from Farnham Street, which is a decision journal, where if a big decision comes up, Mickey, whether it's hiring an outsourced accounting firm, bringing on a COO, engaging in a new project, is I will write down everything about it, you know, what I think is going to go well, maybe some blind spots, anything like that, right? Potential blind spots. And then 3 months later, 6 months later, even a year later, I'll go back and I'll see how the decision went. And it helps me kind of really reflect back on if things went well or not. So those are two areas right there, the big three and the decision journal. And three, you and I recorded an episode on feedback, and I think it's super important. A lot of times, especially on a leader, you know, we talked a lot about how to give feedback, and we spoke also there about receiving feedback, is creating the psychological safety for your team, and I talk about this in my book, to feel comfortable to give you feedback. And if you do that as a leader, that's gold, where they can come to you and say, hey, Damon, you know, maybe you could do this differently, or I didn't appreciate the way you spoke to me, or I really liked how you talked about that. I think that that's a great way to help with self-awareness. And that's only going to work if people feel the comfort level to be able to speak to you. And not that you necessarily have to, you know, implement everything they say, but if you never even listen to them or blow them off, people are going to stop talking to you that way. So those are my three. Anything you want to add on that before we wrap up?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I love the tie-in with feedback, because I think we're all giving each other feedback all the time. Sometimes it's overt and direct, and sometimes it's pretty indirect and casual or whatnot. But the self-awareness piece is really, are we standing behind a brick wall, or are we peering around the side, right? Like, if I'm peering around the side, I'm becoming more self-aware and I'm saying, what's over there? Like, what is it that's coming to me? Can I look at it a little bit? Can I understand it? Can I touch it? Can I taste it a little bit, right? And it allows the person, when you engage in that process of self-awareness, is like, I'm going to absorb this feedback. Even if I don't like how it is, or I don't like how it feels, right? But rather than being resistant, right? And that does, it dovetails so perfectly to feedback. And I think so many people are just like, oh, well, that feedback, that's not right. It's not accurate. What does that mean in terms of your own self-awareness, right? Like, that's the next question, is like, my self-awareness is I'm really resistant to what other people have to say about me. I'm, you know what I mean? Like, you see that tie-in together? I think that's such a fantastic tie-in. So yeah, it's awesome.
So Mickey, not to make this a Learner commercial, but we teach self-awareness. Can you talk a little bit about the courses that we have around it?
Yeah. I love. We have a couple of emotional intelligence workshops that we teach. One of them is called Enhance Your Emotional Intelligence, and it's really the stuff about self. A lot of what we've been talking about today is kind of self-understanding, self-awareness, self-regulation. And then we teach a partner course. I call it like a partner-cousin course, that's about strengthening your relationships. And so how do we take that self-knowledge and really engage in empathetic relationships and relationships of strength and trust? And these are fantastic workshops. A couple of our teammates have been working very diligently to just keep these really current with some of the research and stuff. And Damon, I'm just going to go off on a limb here with this and just throw it out there. But If folks are really interested in this, if you're like really jiving on what we're talking about today, connect with me on LinkedIn and Mickey at Learning. Connect with me on LinkedIn. Send me a message. Hopefully, Damon, I'm looking for a visual reaction here. I'd love to get you. Yeah, there we go. I want to give you a coupon code to take one of our Learn and Emotional Intelligence classes, because that is so much a core part of who we are as an organization, is really kind of being grounded in this place
for free.
And empathy and understanding. Yeah. So I get you. Yeah. Absolute free pass to one of these emotional intelligence classes for sure.
Together, let's do a little recap of what we talked about here. And then I want to close out once more with a quick version of the three steps to own your own self-awareness. So Mickey, some of the things we talked about today was how important it is for self-awareness, and what are the dangers of not recognizing and reflecting yourself? You know, one of those dangers is being stuck in a miserable job or losing time and just not being happy, not being true and honest with yourself. And we talked about the importance of self-awareness as a leader, that the higher you go, the more important it is, because people want to model your behavior. And if you have poor behavior, they're not going to trust you. We also spoke about personal brand. We all have a personal brand, yeah. And it's how people perceive you. What else did we talk about, Mickey?
Well, and then what we did was we moved into those action steps, because I mean, I think that's what we're all about on this podcast, is like giving some people some really tactical guidance for what do I do with this stuff. And so those action steps, the first one is actively engaging in your own emotional regulation. So really kind of understanding and how you show up and how are you regulating how you show up. The second one is owning your strengths and areas of needed improvement when it comes to those elements of self-awareness. And then the last one, and the one that I think really resonates with both of us very strongly, which is reflecting and engaging around your impact on other people, right? How we show up in the spaces that we're a part of, and how do people react to us? So again, you mentioned personal brand, but you know, how do we make ripples in the world, and are they the right type of ripples, the right type of impact, and what does that mean for us as individuals and organizations? So hopefully this has felt like, you know, good practical advice for folks to be able to become, you know, again, this more self-aware version of who we are as individuals. And I just want to reiterate what you said, Damon, the critical error that a lot of people make, which is the higher up on the ladder I go, the bigger title that I get, the more credentials, I don't have to think about that stuff. I don't have to worry about that stuff. And I think that is such a critical error. And I see that in some leaders in a lot of organizations now, which is that they just completely lack self-awareness. And I think it's unfortunate for them. It's unfortunate for the people that are part of that organization, but it's unfortunate for the organizations and people that are customers of that organization as well, because that isn't a transparent and honest and real person.
I think that's a great way to end this. Where can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah. Well, if you already maybe are sending me a message right now to get that free coupon code for one of our emotional intelligence classes, but please connect with me. Again, my name is Mickey Fitch Collins. I'm on LinkedIn. You can just search Learn It and Mickey and you'll find me there. That's a great place for us to connect.
Mickey is absolutely awesome. I'm so blessed and lucky to have her as part of our team at Learn It. You have to follow her on LinkedIn. I mean, she's so giving with her knowledge. And, you know, even send her a message and she'll get back to you. And for all you listeners out there, if you, you don't even have to tell them this, but if you know of somebody who maybe is struggling with self-awareness and could use a little booster on it, do me a favor. On your favorite platform, copy this, you know, click on this episode, copy it, and text it to them. Tell them to check it out. And they could take a free class as well. It might help everybody. And so until next time, do me a favor, rate and review this episode. And it really helps us with our listeners and everything. Give us some honest feedback. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning. See you, everybody. And at the end of the day, I don't think you can really expect people to trust you if you don't trust them first.
Building trust out loud and always working to improve. Because there's no real like upper ceiling to, oh, I have all the trust in the world. Damon and I 1000% trust one another, right? There's no upper ceiling limit as to what that looks like. So we have to do things constantly to be building trust out loud with other people.
Quick break. If you're serious about mastering the skills for 2025 and beyond, Learn It's got something special just for you. hit the link in the show notes for 45 days of free Learn It classes. It's an incredible way to future-proof your growth. And if you're leading a team, up to 20 of your team members can have access to unlimited free classes as well. Because we believe companies grow when their people do. This offer is good through July 1st, 2025. So reach out today. Now back to the episode.